For I am from everlasting to everlasting. I am the rock of your foundation, upon which you can stand throughout all eternity. I will not fail or falter or diminish in strength, but I will sustain you. I will bring you to the destiny that I have planned for you. Take heart and believe my word. Act on what I say, and I will show you the way in which you should go. Amen, amen. All sufficient, right? Grace is all sufficient. It can handle everything that you face. And today we want to talk to you about how grace comes to you to help you to serve and to work. Did you know that God's not opposed to work? And He gives us grace. God actually works in a person who believes in Him. He puts within them a desire, and He equips them with the necessary tools and strength and equipment to do what He wants us to do. So grace comes to us to help us to serve and to work. You know that from Genesis to Revelation, believers are encouraged to serve one another for the glory of God. Matter of fact, it's mentioned, the word serve, servant, or something like that is mentioned about 1,000 times in the Bible. And, of course, we have the greatest example of a servant. His name is Jesus. And He came and He completely dedicated His life to doing what God wants Him to do. And a great place to serve is the local body. Amen? God has many local branches of the body of Christ. Every believer who believes in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they are part of the body of Christ. And but God gives us grace. God wants to maximize His grace in your life. He wants us to receive God's gift of grace today. It's going to help us. I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. See, God's grace will lead you to salvation, all right? God's grace provided us a way to be saved from hell, all right? But once you're saved, that's not the end of the story. God then, He gives you grace. That same grace that led you to salvation will also work in your life to help you serve others and to do what God wants you to do. Did you know that you were not created for yourself? Not one of us here were created for ourselves, but we were created to help someone. It could be a group, a person, you know, but we are created to help and to serve others. So, you know, but God's grace comes to us. Aren't you glad that we can receive God's grace? God's grace, He gives it freely to all who will receive it. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. And this is talking about Jesus. And it says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with the wisdom of God." And the what? The grace of God was where? It was upon him. Well, if grace can be upon Jesus, then grace can be upon us. All right? But I want you to see that grace comes to us. Okay? Who put it on him? Who put the grace on him? It was God, because God is the creator of grace. It's part of his nature. All right? So he grew, he waxed strong in spirit, he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Okay? Let's go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Are you here today? Amen. And I want to start with verse 31 of Acts chapter 4. Some of the disciples had come back to report what God had done. And they had a prayer meeting. And it said, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. We could use a place shaking, couldn't we? That might freak some people out. But their prayer was so powerful that God's presence came and shook the place. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, everybody say great power, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was where? It was upon them all. God wants every one of us not just to have a little grace or a dab of grace. Listen, when it comes to grace, a little dab won't do you. You need great grace. And there was an atmosphere here where God caused great grace to be upon them all. Great power signifies there was great grace, because grace is an empowering ability of God. It's an enablement, an endowment that God gives to us to give us power to do what he wants done in the earth. How many know God needs some people full of power? He doesn't want wimps in his kingdom. He wants us to be strong in him and in the power of his might. Okay? So, you know, they're one heart and one soul. They were in unity and in harmony. Imagine what we can do when we're all together, when we're all on the same page. We can change nations. We can change cities. But it requires the grace of God to be on us all. Go to Psalm 84 with me. Psalm 84. Someone say, God is good. He is. All the time. Amen to that. Look at Psalm 84 and verse 11. This is a truth declared in this psalm. He says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold to them that walk uprightly. So what's necessary for us to be in a position where we can receive God's grace? God gives grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold to who? To them that walk how? Uprightly, in righteousness. All right? When a person gets born again, you become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All your sins, all your mistakes, they're wiped away in God. You have a clean slate. You're a new creature. Now, you need to walk in the newness of life. Okay? But God is a sun. The sun gives light. The sun gives warmth. The sun helps. It makes plants grow. But then he's a shield. He's a protection. He's a defense. He's a strong tower. And he gives grace and glory to those who walk uprightly. So when you walk uprightly, when you carry out the principles of God, when you do what Jesus wants you to do, when you're walking in his will, the goodness of God is unlimited to you. No good thing will he withhold. Is that what it said? Do you believe that? I believe that. Now, we cannot walk uprightly on our own. It's going to require God working in us. God leading, guiding, and directing us. God strengthening us. But you know what? God is glad to do it. Because you know where he lives? He lives in your heart. And He lives in your heart so that he can help you do what he wants to do. So that his presence, you can call on his presence anytime you need to. Jesus said, I'm with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you always, even until the ends of the age. God is with us right now. He's helping us. And he wants to make sure that there's no interference of the grace that he gives to us so that we can do all that he wants us to do. So he gives grace and glory. Hallelujah. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And let's look at verse 4. When the chief shepherd shall appear. Who's the chief shepherd? That's Jesus. He's the great shepherd, right? Did you know that you have a great shepherd? And he's still taking applications for the flock. Amen? When the chief shepherd shall appear, means when he comes again, you shall receive a crown of glory that doesn't fade away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to who? To the humble. What does it mean to be humble? It means to trust not in yourself, but to trust completely in God. To be humble does not mean to do without. It's a matter of trust, where your heart is. It's not in earthly things, but it's in God. You can humble yourself. When you humble yourself, you put yourself into a position for God to give you grace. But if you exalt yourself, if you think that you can live the life that God called you to live on your own with no help from God, that's proud. God will resist the proud. You'll get no grace. The pride gets no grace. Everybody say, I need Jesus. Oh, we need Jesus. We need him. Every day, every hour, every moment, we need him. Amen? See, these things that I'm sharing with you, they're grace qualifiers. All right? To the uprightly, to the humble. God will give you grace. And that grace will help you. And that grace will work in you. And that grace will change you. It'll transform you into what God wants you to be. You know that life is a journey? How many lives do we have? We have one life. You have one life to find out what God has created you and to start doing it. Now, some people find out early. Some people find out later. Doesn't matter when you find out, but as long as you find out, you got to be about the Father's business. You got to be doing God's will. You got to be doing what God wants you to do. Amen? And he gives you ability, he gives you divine ability to do that. He doesn't expect us to do it on our own. We need the grace of God. Okay? So grace comes to us. He resists the proud. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. It's good to know where these things are. How does faith come? By hearing what? Did you know that your faith cannot go beyond the will of God that you know? If you don't know something that God wants, you can't be faithful. You can only have faith for what you know, what God wants, or what he wants to give you. Your faith can't go beyond the knowledge of God's will. All right? Romans 12, verse 3. Paul is talking here, and he says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." So, listen, grace doesn't make you haughty. Grace doesn't make you boastful. Grace puts your attention on God, because God's the giver of grace. So when you have grace, you're not going to exalt yourself when grace is operating. When grace is operating, you're going to exalt Christ. That's why Paul said, I don't need to be an eloquent speaker. I only need to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Everything that Paul did, he didn't exalt his education. He didn't exalt his experience. He exalted God. See, for the grace that was given to him. You know, grace doesn't puff you up. It puffs God up in you. It makes God big in you. So grace was given. Then he goes on to say, verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given. Every one of us has grace from God to function in the body of Christ where He wants us to function. Not everybody is a pastor. Not everybody is an apostle. But we all, see, God gives you grace to help the body. How many are thankful for your hands? Don't they help the body? Your eyes help the body, don't they? Which is greater, your hands or your eyes? None. They're equal. They just function differently. But thank God for your eyes and thank God for your hands. And that's how God designed the body to do. And so He's given every member in the body a grace to function, a grace to serve, a grace to work, a grace to do something that is out of yourself. Your hand does not go and do what it wants to do. It can't. What's happening? My hand wants to go over here. No, it doesn't do that. Where your body goes, the hand goes. Why? Because they're connected. They're attached. But see, Christians think that they can do it on their own. Christians think that they can do things apart from a body. Can't. God works through the body. Amen? I never read where God works through Lone Rangers. Go with me to Acts chapter 14. Let's talk a little bit about grace to work. Okay? How many believe that grace comes to you? Do you believe that you're a candidate for God's grace? Say, God, say this with me. Say, God, I need your grace, so send it now. Anytime that you need grace, it's available. Hebrews 4:16 says, come boldly before the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. Where do you go to look for grace? You go to God. You go to His presence. All right? So how does grace work? Acts 14. And let's look at verse 26. Acts 14, verse 26. And there they sailed to Antioch. Anybody know something about Antioch? It was the first place where they were called Christians, in Antioch. And from where they had been recommended to the grace of God for what? What were they recommended for the grace of God for what? For the work which they fulfilled. Did you know that God created you for good works? Every one of us, before we were born, God created you for good works that we should walk in them. Is everybody doing God's good works? Maybe not. But we were created for them. And grace, listen, God, just in the natural, imagine if a fireman went to a fire without the proper equipment. If he just had a ball cap and a t-shirt and jeans, and do you expect him to fight the fire effectively? What does the fire department supply him with? It supplies him with flame retardant pants, right? Flame retardant coat, an oxygen tank, a mask, gloves, a helmet, fire equipment, a hose. The fire company supplies what the fireman needs to do the job. Just as the fire company supplies the fireman to do the job, God also supplies every believer with what they need to do the job. Can you imagine an astronaut showing up in a Batman costume, saying, "I'm ready to take the space shuttle into space"? Well, he wouldn't survive very long because they need a space suit, right? Because they encounter different atmospheres. If they don't have a space suit, they can't do the job that they need. God's given us a space suit called grace. And grace works within us. It works from the inside out, and it strengthens us, it empowers us, it enables us, it helps us, and it works through us. Hallelujah. So grace wants you to work. Go to Acts chapter 15, verses 40 and 41. It says, Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended or committed by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Okay? Paul had grace. All right? He had great grace to do what he needed to do. I'm looking for the scripture here. Yes. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to show you how the grace of God operated in Paul. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's look at verse 9. Well, we better back up to verse 6. He says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. Now he that plants and he that waters are one. Isn't that interesting? When you share the gospel with someone, you're planting. When someone else comes to share the gospel with that same person and maybe they get saved, they're watering, but they're one. The planter and the waterer are not above each other because they have a different function, but it's for the overall cause of the plant that they're doing. Okay? So that neither he that plants anything, neither he that waters, but God gives the increase. Now he that plants and he that waters are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own what? Did you know that God's going to reward us based on the labor that we do for his kingdom? Based on how we serve others? On how we help others? Okay? Verse 10, Paul says, now, according to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon, but let every man take heed how he builds thereon. So what was Paul's grace for? God gave Paul grace to go into uncharted territory, to go where the gospel was never preached, to go where there was no churches, and Paul would preach. Through God's ability, he had the ability to travel, he had the ability to speak, he had the ability to work, and he would preach. And when he preached, people would get saved. And then he would establish a church. Then Paul would go on to the next place, and he would put a pastor into that church. See, Paul was a starter. He had a grace from God to be a wise master builder, to lay the foundation. Okay? So he would go to this place, he would preach, God would touch hearts, people would get saved, a church would be built. He'd go to this place, he would preach, God would touch hearts, a church would be built. He'd go to this place, a place he would preach, God would touch hearts, and a church would be built. So Paul spent his time traveling around as a missionary to plant churches. Just like this church, back in the early 80s, this church was planted. by Harvey Good. God gave him a vision. And I can remember in my own life, before I was ever preaching, there were times when I would get a glimpse of myself standing in front of people preaching the Word of God. Guess what? You guys are people. I'm preaching. God was showing me what He wanted me to do. And here's what grace does. When God calls you to do something, it may be, you might have emotions of fear, of anxiety, like, I'm not equipped to do this, or I can't do anything like this. But I'm going to tell you, when the grace of God comes in, it'll push fear right out. It'll put that anxiety to rest. God's grace is greater than fear. God's grace is greater than anxiety. And you can do it because God's grace is operating in you to do it. It was grace that enabled Peter to walk out of the boat when he said, Jesus, if that's you, bid me come. Well, it was Jesus. He said, come. So Peter stepped out of that boat, and he was walking on water. He was focused on Jesus. He was walking on the Word. Grace was operating in him. Why? Because Jesus, did you know that John 1:14 says Jesus is full of grace and truth? He's got so much grace that he's got enough to give. And he loves to give us grace. And Peter got out of that boat. Peter took one step. He took two steps. I don't know how many steps Peter took before he got his eyes off of Jesus. But see, this is what the grace of God does. The grace of God will eliminate any fear you might have in giving. Did you know that God is a giver? He has the nature of giver. For God so loved the world, what did He do? He gave. He shares His nature with us. And when He shares His nature with us, all of a sudden we're like, wow, I want to give. I never used to want to give before. I always wanted to take. But now I want to give because I got a different nature working in me. Something's working on the inside. We used to sing a song at Bible school. Something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. How many's been changed by that something on the inside? Working. It's working. Grace is a workhorse. Grace never quits. Grace never stops. Grace will continue until the job is done. Grace gives you all the tools you need for whatever God asks you to do. Wherever He puts you, you have grace. You don't have to rely on yourself. Thank God for that. I don't have to rely on my own intellect to preach these messages. Thank God. I don't have to rely on my eloquence. Thank God. I did not come from a line of preachers. The closest thing I had to preaching in my family line were two of my grandpa's brothers were auctioneers. My father sold insurance for State Farm. I was a shy boy. As a young boy, I would hide under the table when we'd have guests because I was shy. Something got a hold of me, and I'm not shy anymore. That's the grace of God. See, grace is a gift of God. It helps you think soberly and function in the Lord's body. Different graces are distributed to different people, so God's grace works in everybody differently. Aren't you glad for that? God does not have a cookie cutter called grace. Same shape, same shape, same shape. No. Grace is variety. Grace is different. Go to Romans chapter 15. Hallelujah. Romans 15. Romans 15, 15. Here's what Paul wrote to the Romans. Romans 15, 15. He said, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you. You'll find words associated with grace. Boldness, power, you know, great things happening, miracles, signs and wonders, all associated with grace. Okay? I've written the more boldly unto you, Lord, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. So Paul was saying that it was God's grace that was enabling him to function this way. Okay? And Paul even talked about how he labored more abundantly. What was working in him to do that? It was God's grace. Okay? And then let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's magnify God's grace today. Let's look at verse 16. He said, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us. You believe that God loves you? You believe that Jesus loves you? He does. And has given us everlasting consolation, which is comfort and good hope through what? Through grace. God who loves you, Jesus who loves you, the Holy Ghost who loves you, he has given us everlasting comfort. See, another function of grace, it comforts you. It encourages you. Grace will speak to you within you. You can do it. You can do it. Grace might have wrote the little engine that could. I think I can. He was having trouble getting up that mountain. See, a lot of times when God asks us to do something, we're having trouble. We're struggling because we start off trying to do it on our own. We start off trying to do it in our own strength, in our own makeup. And it gets hard. It's like an uphill battle. But grace is working. Grace is saying, you can do it. 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 And eventually, you're up over the mountain. And it wasn't by you, it was by the grace of God. So you can say, thank God for the grace. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 12. He said that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified where? Did you know that God wants his name glorified in you? He made us carriers of his name. That's quite a responsibility. When people see us, when people hear us, and if they know we are Christians, we are carrying his name. So we got to be careful that we're not doing things that he wouldn't do. We're not saying things he wouldn't say. Right? Because we're carrying his name. That Christ may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm almost done. The finish line is in sight. I'm running to get there. All right? Just stay with me for a couple more minutes. Verse 28. Hebrews 12, verse 28. Wherefore, We are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Hallelujah. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God. How? Acceptably, with reverence and godly fear, for God is a consuming fire. So grace comes to us and it helps us serve acceptably, right? Reverently and in godly fear. If we're serving to exalt self, we're not serving acceptably. God didn't bring this, He didn't bring us in it to exalt ourselves. And if we're tempted to exalt ourselves, God will oppose us if we yield to that temptation. Okay? But we're called to serve God. Amen? Every one of us is called to serve. Every one of us is called to help. Every one of us have gifts. Your gifts are different than my gifts. Your gifts are different than my gifts. But when you bring all the gifts together, everybody gets blessed. You may be good at this, you may be good at that, but when we come together, then everybody experiences the good. So we can't just come to church and go home. No, we've got to get involved. We've got to serve. We've got to help. We've got to get involved in some area. There's got to be something here that you can do for someone else. And you can do it through the grace of God. Jesus said, "The greatest among you will be your servant." How many want to be great in God's kingdom? The way to be great in God's kingdom is to what? Is to serve. The way to demonstrate love is to serve. Jesus said, "I did not come to be served, but to serve." Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, when He walked this earth, His disciples came together for a meal. And Jesus, they were sitting at the table, and Jesus put on an apron. And He got a towel, and He got a basin, and He began to wash His disciples' feet. He began to show us how to serve. Now, when He got to Peter, Peter said, "Oh, Lord, don't do this to me." But Jesus said, "Look, if you don't let me do this, you don't have any part in my kingdom." Listen, God's grace will teach you how to serve. God's grace will direct you to where you can serve best. Serving God, when you're in the right place, serving the right people, it's a blessing, not a burden. We had no connections in Palmyra, but we heard God's direction. Through a series of different things, God led us here. And really, the definition of a minister is to serve. We're here to serve the people. We're here to serve you and help you find your inheritance and your treasure in God's Word. Jesus was the ultimate servant, and He gives us grace to serve. And I'm going to end with this. Go to Philippians chapter 2. I want to read this from the Amplified. Philippians chapter 2. Always a problem when you talk and not turn. Philippians chapter 2. And let's look at verse 7. Talking about Jesus here. He said, "But He made Himself of no reputation." Whoa. You know, sometimes someone who serves doesn't always get acknowledged. See, if you're going to be serving, you can't be a glory hog. If you've ever seen a play, who gets the greatest applause? The actors, not the people behind the scenes moving the set. Right? You don't even see them. They're dressed in black. What are they doing? They're serving. But could the play be successful without them? No. No way. But they're behind the scenes. They don't get the long applause. But they're certainly as much a part of it as anything else. So if you want to be a servant, you've got to lose your reputation. But made himself. That sounds to me like he made a choice of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. How many people would want Jesus' ministry? 3.5 years. Jesus' ministry lasted 3.5 years because he came to die. He knew he came to die from the very start. When he accepted God's call to come, he knew he came to die. Some people want, that'd be hard for people. Because you want to experience things on the earth. You want to live longer. You want to do all these things. No, he came to do what God wanted him to do. And he did it. He did it successfully. He didn't leave anything undone. And here's what it says in the Amplified, verses 13 to 16. It says, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you. Oh, hallelujah. Energizing and creating in you the power and desire, both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. I'm reading this from the Amplified. Verse 14. Do all things without grumbling and fault-finding and complaining against God and questioning and doubting among yourselves. No one wants to be served by a grumbler or a complainer or a murmurer. I don't know why you got to help those people. Oh, just hush and be quiet. Go somewhere else. Don't be a servant. We got to do things without grumbling, complaining. Listen, when we complain, I don't care who it's against, God takes it personal. You can read Numbers for that. All right, verse 15, that you may show yourselves to be blameless and godless, innocent and uncontaminated children of God. Every child of God, God expects to serve his family. If you're a child of God, God expects you to serve in some way, shape, or form, or capacity. Amen? Every one of us have grace to serve. Every one of us have something to offer. Okay? In the midst of a crooked and wicked generation, spiritually perverted and perverse, among whom you shine as bright lights, stars and beacons, shining out clearly in the world. Verse 16, holding out to it and offering to all men the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I might have something of which exultantly to rejoice in glory, in that I did not run my race in vain or spend my labor with no purpose. God's grace has come to us to help us serve and to help us work in God's kingdom. And where he wants us to work is the church, and then he wants us to work in the community, and he wants us, through our serving, we're pointing people to Christ. Did you know that Stephen was chosen to serve tables, and while serving tables, he performed miracles? Yes, would you like more coffee? Would you like a healing with that, please? Read it in Acts 6. He served tables and he did miracles because he was serving. Listen, don't be someone that does nothing. Don't be someone that just comes and goes and you never connect to the body in any way. Connect to the body through serving. Use God's grace to serve one another. Amen? I guarantee you that you will be blessed for it. Because Jesus, he came to offer his life as a ransom for many. Now, you're here today, and some of you have different needs. Maybe you need healing in your body. God's got grace for healing. Maybe you need deliverance from a bad habit. God's got grace to deliver. Maybe you need help over a situation. God's got grace to help you with whatever you need. Listen, God's grace is awesome. It's God's gift that keeps on giving. It's like God gave you the keys to a car that never runs out of fuel. And it'll take you wherever you need to go. It'll help you do whatever you need to do. It's God's grace. God's grace is your superpower. Every one of us has that superpower working on the inside of us. So if you need healing in your body, I would love to pray for you because we believe in the laying on of hands. Amen. Bible says if you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. God wants you healed. God wants you whole. God wants you saved. God wants you working in the kingdom. God wants you to take your place in Christ and do what he's called you to do. Amen. So if you need prayer for anything, I would encourage you to come up now and receive of the grace of God, okay? I don't know what you need. The Holy Spirit hasn't told me what anybody need are, but I know that there's some needs here today. And I know that grace can handle it. Amen? God's grace is incredible. That's why he wrote the song, Amazing Grace. It is amazing. It truly is. As you come up today, I just want you to believe God for whatever that he can meet your need. Okay? Hallelujah. Yeah, that's a good song. Yes. God is ready to pour out grace upon you. Grace is about to come to you. Step forward. Over every disease. You're in this thing together. Where one can put 1,000 flies, two can put 10,000. All of a sudden now, everything is multiplied. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, let your grace flow today.